It's an interesting passage of Scripture taken from Luke's Gospel. We've been tracking Luke's Gospel these past few weeks. You know, I've given a title to this sermon, Fast and Furious When Life's Too Busy. And I've shared over the past couple of weeks, you know, I've only been here, it's my third Sunday, that I like to begin my messages with a question. And so I ask you this question this morning. Have you ever felt like life was moving so fast that you wanted to just shout, stop the world, I want to get off? Has anyone ever been there? Yeah, I know. It seems like life's out of control and you're functioning at such a frenzy speed or pace that it makes you feel like you're on a treadmill at high speed. And speaking of treadmills, I belong to the finest fitness gym down the street here. And I go there regularly early in the morning. And one time I was on the stepmaster and I looked off to the right and there was a young man, about 25 years of age, running on the treadmill, doing about 120 miles an hour. I'm not kidding you. He was so fast, I couldn't see his legs move. I thought to myself, if I plugged a power line into this guy, I could supply electricity to all of Patchogue. But then, for just a split second, he looked down at his iPhone and his feet crossed. And that belt threw him off that machine like a bronco flipping a cowboy. I was alarmed at first, but he was so nimble, 25 years old, that he wasn't hurt, except for his pride, because there were a lot of women around him. And he grabbed his bottle of water so fast and left the gym, he was faster than he was on the treadmill. You know, sometimes I feel like that guy. Maybe you do too. That you're running so fast in this life, your pace is so frenzied, so out of control that you can't keep up. I'm sure all of us have been there one time or the other, and maybe some of you are there right now, actually. How many of you know the story that was just read about Mary and Martha? Yes. The first hand I got was a Martha. It's a very interesting story, these two sisters who loved Jesus so much. They had a brother. You remember his name? Lazarus. He was raised from the dead. But I'm not going to talk about that account. I want to stay with this story for this morning. If you remember, this story follows last week's story. What was last week about? If you were here, it was about the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan story was all about that we should be engaged in doing good works if we are believers in Jesus Christ. And certainly the Good Samaritan stood for that, right? He did good when everybody else ignored the problem at hand. But now, for this week, the story shifts. Doesn't mean we stop doing good works. It shifts from all about good works to leading a devotional life, a balanced life. And friends, I don't know about you, but I think one of the biggest problems in our society today, apart from some of the horrible things that are going on in our world, such as terrorism and certain injustices and things like that, but I'm talking about one of the problems that the average citizen, especially in America, faces is that we live unbalanced lives. Most of our lives are out of balance, and that's a problem. And I think that's what this story is about. I believe this story this morning that was just read is about setting priorities in our life. It's a story of why it's important to occasionally sit down at the feet of Jesus instead of always running around like chickens with our heads cut off. So let me place this story in its proper geographical setting. I think it's very important. Whenever Jesus traveled to Jerusalem, and I want to tell you, most times he did, he was going there to attend, celebrate, pay respect to one of the high holy days or feasts like Passover. And when he did travel to Jerusalem, he stopped in a little village called Bethany. And that's where Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus lived. It was only about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. It would be like Patchogue and East Patchogue, that close. And whenever Jesus went to Jerusalem, he would stop there. And Mary, Martha, and Lazarus always considered it a great privilege to open up their home to Jesus and his disciples and to be hospitable, to give them a place to rest their heads, to provide food and meals and so forth. That's what kind of family this is that we're exploring this morning. And as the story goes that was just read, Martha's running around doing everything. She's preparing the food, she's setting the table, she's making sure everybody's comfortable, while Mary is sitting down chatting with Jesus. And she becomes very upset over that. Now, listen, it was extremely noble of Martha in what she was doing, in that she wanted to provide the very best to Jesus and his disciples. And Mary decides to do something completely opposite and different. And it causes Martha to lose her cool because she was very angry that her sister wasn't helping and apparently just sitting there doing nothing. And so now, just for the record, and I want to emphatically share this with you because I don't want you leaving church this morning thinking that I am putting Martha down. I'm not doing that. She was a great person. And so is this Martha, actually. Don't you agree?
Amen.
All right. Show her some love. She feels loved here, I'm sure. She never liked that story, she said. You know, in John chapter 11, verse 5, let me tell you what it says. It says that Jesus loved Martha very much. So it wasn't a question about love between these two individuals. She was loving, she was caring, she was generous, she was hospitable. She was all of these things, Martha. See, I want to just lift up Martha. I don't want her to be the bad guy this morning in this story. And I also want to tell you something that you may not read in commentaries, but I know this to be true. She was also very brave. And let me tell you why. If you were associated with Jesus and his disciples 2,000 years ago, you actually put your safety in jeopardy because the authorities were after him and his followers. In fact, if you read the Gospels, many of his followers, when it got hot in the kitchen, they left. They stopped following him. But not Martha. She was faithful. She was tough. She was committed. So I'm not going to throw her under the bus this morning. But I am going to use her as an example of what maybe some of us are struggling with even today as we look at this passage. Her sister Mary was exactly the same way. Courageous, hospitable, courteous, caring, generous. These two sisters were exactly the same. Here's the difference between the two of them. Mary knew when to get off the treadmill, and Martha didn't. You know, a number of years ago, I share this story with you. I was at home, and a pastor called me. I was up in Connecticut at the time, and he says, "Chuck, I'm down in Florida vacationing, and one of my parishioners is at Yale New Haven Hospital, and he's in a bad way. In fact, he's in his final days in their hospice unit. He has terminal cancer. And I was wondering if you'd do me a favor and take a run up there and just do a pastoral call." And I said, "I'd be happy to do that." And I shot up there and I met this man, and he was a fabulous man. In fact, he shared his story with me. He had worked his way up from the very bottom when he graduated college to an assistant vice president of IBM. Very successful. But he says, "Reverend, as I lie here in my final days, I worked 80 hours a week. I took home my work every night, and when my family was upstairs doing things, I was in my study doing work that I couldn't finish in my office." And he said, "But I did it for the family. I put my kids to the best schools. My family wanted for nothing. We have a beautiful home. And he says, but I always had this plan that I would retire one day and my wife and I would ride off into the sunset. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And he said, Reverend, if I could only do it over again, I wouldn't live the fast-paced life that I did all these years. I would do it differently. You see, when we're too busy, friends, we become distracted, don't we? Distracted from the important things in life. For Martha, it was the presence of Jesus in her home. For us, maybe when we're too busy, we're distracted away from the people we love the most, or from things we enjoy to do, or time with the Lord. We lose a sense of maintaining priorities in our lives. And we get loaded down with this to-do list that I want to tell you, for most of us, our to-do lists, it would be difficult for three people to get the work done, let alone one. I got one amen back here. You see, we can be so busy doing good things that we become unhealthy physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. We become unhealthy. Now, don't get me wrong, on the face of things, it appears Martha was, she had a legitimate complaint. I think if I was Martha that day, I would have complained about my sister. You know, oy vey, what are you doing? I'm making all the falafels, and you're just sitting there eating a falafel. Do you know many churches run that way today, where 10% are doing 90% of the work? Do you know that? It's many churches. I got another amen back here. I like this guy. And it shouldn't be that way either. I mean, I don't want to throw Martha under the bus, but, you know, if everybody did their share, there would be so much more done, even if we look at the body of Christ and the church. However, the theme of this gospel message this morning is not about busyness and doing church work. That's not what it's talking about. So as I look at this a little further, Martha is running around. She's doing everything she can to do the very best for her guests. And here's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, apparently doing nothing. But she was doing more than her sister, actually. You know, last week I told you, get involved. You remember with the Good Samaritan? I said, get involved. Get involved in the needs of others. Apply yourself to people who need your help, her help. And I say, continue that. I don't discourage you from that. But I also encourage you, my friends, while you're doing good works, also always think about living a balanced life. Don't be out of balance. We can't be so involved in doing good that we fail to take time to be with the one who we claim to be doing the good for. You get what I mean? Amen. Yeah. Mary was engaging in something that Martha needed. Do you know what Martha needed that day? Martha needed some quiet time. How many people could use some quiet time? Amen. Surprised I didn't hear you guys say that with your place upstate. Quiet time. My wife knows that I like quiet time, but not for too long. I like to hear sirens. I grew up in Brooklyn. I can't take quiet time for too long, but I need quiet time in my life, and I know you do too. And so Jesus is basically telling Martha, get off the treadmill. You're out of control. Jesus is telling her, Martha, chill out. Learn how to relax. Come and spend some time to me, with me, as Mary is doing. And I don't know how this works, guys. I'm just being very honest. I know it's miraculous. But I find that the more time I spend with Jesus in prayer and devotion and whatever I'm doing, studying the scriptures, not just for sermons, but just daily devotions, the more time I spend with him, the more I get done, the more successful I am, and the more joy I have about doing it. I don't know how it works, but it's just, it's a spiritual thing of return. The more time you spend with the Lord, the better your life's going to be. Amen. You see, Martha didn't have a problem with loving Jesus. She had a problem being still before him. That was her problem. She was so busy doing, she had no time to be and enjoy the gift of life that Jesus gave her. Now, I think I've made it clear over the past 2 weeks that we need to serve Christ, we need to put our faith into action, we need to bear the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm all for that. But I also want to tell you that we can be so busy doing for him that we forget to spend time with him. And that shouldn't be, friends. And I think that's what this story is all about. Anything, remember this, anything that pulls us away from a personal, intimate relationship with Christ on a daily basis, we have to question whether or not it's Christ who's asking us to do it. Anything that's going to pull us away from reading the Word and praying and spending that quiet time with our Lord each day, perhaps it's not His will to begin with. Our Lord would never ask us, friends, to be so busy that it would pull us away from our relationship with Him. So back to the successful corporate assistant vice president of IBM, who, by the way, shortly after that went home to be with the Lord. But he was secure in Christ. He loved Jesus. And now he is singing in the heavenly choir. I have no doubt about that. He was a noble man. He was a man of integrity. There's no doubt he loved God and he loved his family. But he discovered too late that he was not only suffering from cancer, he was suffering from the Martha syndrome. And he discovered that just too late. He was too busy and his life was out of balance. Now let me just end with this. The best way to get our lives in balance is to use Jesus Christ as our example. What do I mean by that? Jesus, who is the perfect one, all-powerful, all-knowing, even he had to pull away from the pressing crowds and the craziness of his world and go off into a quiet place to pray. Jesus did that. And when he did go off into a quiet place to pray, he sought his heavenly Father's will as to what he was supposed to do that day. And lastly, he knew how to say no. Anybody here have a problem saying no?
Amen.
Yeah, another amen back here. I want you up here every week.
Martha's not going to like that.
But you see, sometimes when we pray, God tells us, don't go that way. Don't engage in that, even though it's a good thing and it's a noble thing, but it may not be what he wants us to do. And so Jesus also set that example. I believe Jesus, my friends, is calling us to live a balanced life. I believe Jesus is calling for us to get off of that treadmill that we're on and take a break and get into a quiet place. I believe Jesus is asking us to set our priorities. And let me tell you what the priorities are. It's God, your family, and then everything else after that. And when that's out of whack, you're in trouble. God, family, and everything else after that. Do you have that?
Amen.
And I know as a pastor, this is not going to sound really good, but the church isn't even first. It's God, family, church, work, and everything else. Set our priorities. To get into our prayer closets and have some quiet time with the Lord. To settle us down and to organize our days so we know what we're stepping into. And so Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're so worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary discovered what that is, to spend some time with me. And you know, I put my name in there because sometimes I take off without checking in. Chuck, Chuck. You're so worried and upset about everything. But one thing's needed. You need to spend some time with me today before you run out that door and start doing everything in your power, in your strength, in your wisdom, and your ability. You know, it is something to think about, but one thing's for sure. A balanced life is more healthy for us, and it is the will of God. Remember the guy in the gym who could provide electricity for all of Patchogue? Remember that guy? He couldn't keep up. And neither could you or me at that pace. We can't continue. So let's get off the treadmill and spend some time with the Lord. Seek His face. Acknowledge that He is the Lord of our lives. And I promise you, you'll get twice as much done and you'll have a whole lot more joy doing it. Amen? Amen. And so, Heavenly Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, the one who called Martha into a place of being centered in Him. Help us in the frenzied pace of life that we live. Help us to walk through this life and enjoy every moment of it and not lose sight that every day is precious as long as we have breath in our lungs. And may we use our time wisely and get off the treadmill and to take it easy and to know that you walk with us. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.